Welcome back to Backstage, where we share what's going on behind the scenes here at Relay FM. I'm Relay FM co-founder Mike Hurley, and I'm joined by Relay FM co-founder Stephen Hackett. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, co-founder.
Why did you hesitate?
I don't know. I didn't know what to do.
You firing me?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's good. What's going on?
We got shirts, baby.
Shirts. Shirts.
Shirts.
Do you want to tell people about our shirts?
I want to talk about our shirts.
Okay. Okay, good.
It's early on a Monday morning. I don't think either of us slept very well, and so this could be a little bit of a goofy one.
Yeah.
We spoke last time or two times ago, sometime recently, about our desire to have a permanent merch store for the network. You know, shows do their own merchandise kind of throughout the year. Y'all just dropped some upgrade stuff. Mm-hmm. I know another show is working on some stickers right now.
Just Rectif shirts just finished too.
The Rectif shirts just finished. I bought one of those. Uh-huh. I'm doing a lot of stuff with computers right now.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Really all the time. Think about it.
Uh-huh.
But we've wanted something for Relay itself, and we put a call out. We got a bunch of resumes from designers, and we landed on working with somebody. And these are the first sort of four things that have come out of this new partnership. Actually, mm-hmm. There's a fifth. If you look in the announcements channel in the Discord, we made like a jokey wallpaper, and that's in there.
Yeah, this process is exactly what we wanted. So we didn't really check, but I think this is probably fine. The designer's name's JD. I haven't given their full name, right? So I figured that's cool. We didn't check. But I also don't want it to be like, we won't tell you who it is. If it's them, I guess. What JD has put together here is exactly what we were hoping for, which was, we said, do you have any ideas? and he came back with a large selection of ideas. My personal favorite shirt, I championed all the way through. So if you're, believe it or not, I would expect, if I said to people, there is one of these shirts that I heavily petitioned to be made,
mm-hmm.
people would not guess correctly which one it was. I feel like.
I think you're so right.
The shirt called Garamond, I personally pushed this shirt into existence. So if you enjoy that, it's a spoof on an old Apple t-shirt. It just looked just like that. It was just Apple written in Garamond in the rainbow style. So I don't know why Stephen didn't want it. Stephen really liked the classic stripes one. And I really loved the Garamond one because I just think it's so ridiculous. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if it's just because it says Relay. Is that why you don't like it?
No, I've basically given up the fight of including the FM in the name. It took me a little while to warm up to having four new shirts all at once. But sort of once I made that turn of like, let's just go wild with this. But yeah, it's great.
This is why we can do it, right? Like, so this is the difference. We can have four shirts at once because this is a permanent merch store. So these are our first. These are the first shirts that we've done, me or you, as on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never done this for any of my shows. So this is a slightly different process. But usually with Cotton Bureau, there's like a period of time and everyone places their orders. Then they just make that many shirts. Or like what we do for Cortex, we just buy a bunch and put them in stock. Like, and we actually have one for Relay, the Now Playing show, which we have been keeping in stock for a long time.
Yeah.
But these are just available. If you want one, you buy one, it gets printed and sent to you. So I expect the printing process and maybe the quality slightly different, but I believe that Cotton Bureau have done a great job. I bet it's the best that's available. So this is something that we're trying out, which is different, and so it enables us to be able to have four designs at once because we don't need them all to hit some kind of like minimum order quantity to be made.
I was showing my wife these shirts before we put them up, and she was like, it doesn't even read as Relay because it's not in the regular typeface. Mm-hmm. She's like, I had to like really pay attention and read it to realize it was a Relay shirt, which I think is part of the fun too.
I think we should give our pro choices. We have two choices that we think are the best choices, and you can do whatever you want, but these are them. Mine is the Garamond in the gray poly cotton pullover crew neck, because these are available in tees, sweatshirts, hoodies, tanks, and onesies. So if you go to sweatshirt and you go to pullover crew neck in gray poly cotton, I think that is the best option of all of them. And you have a personal favorite in a different one, right?
I do. Mine is the warm transporter in brown on the brown t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's called brown.
It's called
brown.
I'm looking.
It's called macchiato.
Yeah.
I don't think it's called brown because brown is like, it's just not a great.
It's got a vibe
color
to it.
Name, you know.
But yeah, they're all good. I bought all four. I'll say this. I'm just gonna put a little like challenge out there to our members. The first person who sends us a photo of a baby in a Relay onesie is gonna get a prize.
I was just gonna do this.
I don't know what the prize is, but send it to us and we'll send you something.
Can I propose a prize?
Yes.
And you can edit me out. So the first person to send a photo of the baby and you can use Casey's app to cover their face up.
Of course.
If you want. So you can use Masquerade to cover the baby's face, but that's your choice. So you can send it publicly or privately. First baby in a onesie gets a 1-year membership of a show of that person's choice.
Perfect.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah, but you have to be first. If you're second, I'm sorry, you bought the onesie, you know? So if you're going to do this, you got to want the onesie for your baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about the onesies which I just find kind of hilarious.
So. They are really funny.
So this is just the start. I guess we'll do a bunch of these over time. If people seem to like these shirts, we'll do more shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen, you know, usually with our shirts, there's a rush, right? And you have to go get them within 3 weeks. You don't have to. Get these whenever you're ready. These designs are not going away. It costs nothing for us to keep them available. So, you know, no pressure unless you just want to be cool and maybe get a 1-year membership if you have a baby. They're the only two reasons
yeah.
to buy them quickly.
Aaron in the Discord said, I don't think I can be first. Babies take 9-ish months. It doesn't have to be your baby.
Yeah. It could be a baby, you know.
Yeah.
What's up, cool baby?
You could stop somebody on the street, as Tony suggests. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
I have this for your baby. Can I take a picture of them wearing it? I want to get a podcast membership. That's perfectly normal.
If you do that, they're going to call the police on you, and you probably deserve it.
Well, but then you can give this audio as like evidence and you'll be fine. Right? So like that you can tell why I did it. I'm not weird. Like listen.
These guys told me to do it.
Shall we do some member questions?
Let's do it.
First one comes from Llama, who says, "Can you both give us a typical day in the life of Stephen and Mike?" Unfortunately, we don't have these typical days together. We do have typical days separately.
Days we're together are non-typical.
And they also usually nothing gets done.
Or lots of things get done.
Or too much.
There's no there's no in between.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go first.
You can go first. Oh, I'm gonna go first.
You go first.
All right. So I'm gonna go with Mondays because Mondays are my most consistent day for what happens, I feel like. And maybe more typical of what a regular day might be. So I wake up between 8:30 and 9:30, and then I kind of, you know, have my morning rituals, coffee and news and time with my wife. I will commute to my studio. I arrive at my studio between 10 and 11, depending on the day. The first thing that I'll do then when I get here is I will work on preparing for upgrade. And so that consists of going through my RSS feeds. I find the stories that I think could be the most interesting and add those to my Apple note that I also add things to throughout the week. Like if I see things pop up, I'll add them there. But otherwise, I'll go through the feeds that I haven't checked since Wednesday because I typically just have my RSS feeds on Monday and Wednesday. So it's for upgrade and for connected. I read through any stories that I'm interested in, make all the notes in our show documents, and I also choose all of the questions for the various question segments that we have on upgrade. Once that's done, because that's always my longest, that will take anywhere from 1 to 3 hours, depending on the episode. I will then start my prep for any other shows I might be recording on Mondays if I haven't done it already. So Mondays would also include Ungeniused every other week and Backstage, which is what we're doing right now, Usually I do the backstage prep a little bit before Monday, but I'll go over the document again. And on weeks where I record Cortex, I also start this prep on a Monday. Cortex's prep is harder than most of my other shows because there's no news, really, mm-hmm. that focuses the show. So, like, every episode has to be created out of whole cloth. So I will typically prep for that show for, like, 4 days, like, on and off, like, little bits every day. It's a different process. After I've done all the show prep, I then will work on administrative tasks for Relay FM and for Cortex brand. I just do some tracking of stuff on Mondays. Then I have my lunch. I will then usually take a break of some kind, usually video games. Today I accidentally took a nap, which is terrible for me. I don't like doing that. I was just taking a minute and fell asleep for 20 minutes. Don't like that at all. Then I will have a call with Steven.
Hello.
Which is where we have a call every Monday where we talk about company stuff and then also record any relevant podcast. As Kate's pointing out, it is incredibly hot in the UK today. And so that might be why. It is 37 degrees Celsius. We're in a unprecedented heat wave. So that is 98 degrees Fahrenheit. And remember, we do not have air conditioning in this country. So once I'm done with my call with Steven, I will then record Upgrade. I will then edit and publish Upgrade and then travel home. I arrive home kind of between 9 and 10 p.m. That's a typical Monday for me.
I decided to go through a Tuesday. My Mondays are kind of all over the place. But Tuesdays... I picked a Tuesday during the school year because that's a big part of my everyday life when the kids are in school. So I'm up around 6:30, help get kids ready for school, and then I take one of them. My wife takes the other two. I'm usually at work around 9 a.m., and so by that point, I've showered, had breakfast, you know, done stuff around the house, taken a kid to school. Usually by 9, I'm in the studio. First thing Tuesday morning, I will work on some administrative work, you know, anything that needs to be done for Relay FM or any membership emails. I carve out some time Tuesday morning for some 512 pixels writing. Usually that's usually a time where I try to get a blog post done that may show up later in the week or the next week. And then Tuesday is the day that I record Mac Power Users, and we record that around lunch. And so I will spend usually the hour before recording, going over the show notes and recording the ads, because we record those in advance, getting the CMS ready. An MPU outline typically takes anywhere between 1 and 3 weeks to prepare. If it's an interview, it's shorter than that. But like for instance, on...
That sounds so funny when you say that. That's like makes it like an impossible time altering thing. Like it takes 3 weeks to prepare one outline, but we publish every week. You know what I mean? Like I know what you mean. Like you work on them over the case of 3 weeks.
Right.
It's not like, but I don't know. There's just something funny about that to me.
And we're usually working on multiple outlines at once. So like the episode we're recording tomorrow is about Craft, the note-taking application, and we've been working on that for a while, right? So usually by the day we record, the outline's basically done, but I'll go back through it. Usually I haven't looked at it since the week before, like maybe on the Thursday or Friday, so I've been away from it for a few days. Are there any obvious things we need to add? We'll record MPU, which is about 2 hours on a Zoom call with David. And then after that, I'm helping with school pickup. So everybody gets home. And then in the afternoon on Tuesdays, I will prepare for both Somehow I Manage, my office rewatch podcast on The Incomparable, and then work on Connected Prep because we record that on Wednesdays. And so I'll watch my episode of The Office. I'll take notes, do any reading or the research I want to do about the episode, and then work on the connected outline, which again, usually we're working on sort of on and off Monday and Tuesday. There's three of us, so each of us has a little bit less to do than on a show with just two hosts, because I think generally we do a pretty good job at like the three of us all are adding things to the document, right? And we're talking in iMessage and say, hey, you know, what about this? Sometimes, you know, Federico will hold a topic open, like, hey, I'm working on a story. You know, it'll be topic two.
Also, like, with there being three people, we don't do 33% of the prep each. Like sometimes I will do the majority, or you'll do the majority, or Federico. And then, like, other weeks, like, I come to the document and it's like, all I have to do is add in a couple of sentences, like, and I'm ready to go. Because you two have already done it, right? So, like, that's what I kind of like about that. Like, it trades off differently because for some reason that just changes, I think, a lot from two to three people. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I've never had that experience with my other shows. Like, it feels pretty static, you know?
Yeah.
But we've connected, like, there's tons of difference in the amount that each of us individually will prep.
So. Yeah, and it changes week to week. Sometimes, you know, you've got a big thing you want to put in there, and so Frederick and I have a little bit less to do. It works out really well, basically every week. Rarely there's a week that we kind of get to, like, late Tuesday, like, oh, what are we doing?
It happens, but not a lot.
In the summer, especially. But so that'll be my Tuesday afternoon. I try to finish work between 5:30 and 6. So you may think, you know, 9 to 6 is a little bit of a longer day, but I've got school pickup in the middle of that. And, you know, so it's 6-ish. Sometimes a little bit later. After that is, you know, dinner with the family, and I'll get a workout in. I've really tried over the years to be a morning workout person. Like, my wife gets up before me and works out in the morning.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's like, oh, want to make the rest of my day bad? Like, why would I?
Yeah, so I'll go for a bike ride or go for a walk or do weights, whatever, wherever I am in my rotation. And then it's, you know, family time, getting kids in bed. And then after that, I try, and I'm 90% successful at this point, almost 100% successful, no work after that. So that's one reason I use a desktop, is that I can't bring my work computer in the house. Like, I have a laptop, but I don't know, occasionally we'll do something in the evening if something comes up. Like, for instance, Ben, our developer who works on our CMS and some other stuff for us, he's a freelancer, and so he basically only works for us in the evenings if we're, you know, working on something actively. So occasionally there's, you know, an evening where I'm back and forth with him in Slack and looking at things, or we have a call or something, but I try to keep that pretty limited. And then just throughout the whole day, right, it's email, it's Discord, it's Slack. Those are kind of always happening, can always pull my attention. I know some people try to, like, I'm only going to do email from this hour to this hour. Like, that doesn't work for me. You know, being a moderator in the Discord, Slack is where we run the business. Like, I'm just in those applications throughout the day as needed.
Jambo Harv asks, now that it's been a couple of years of shows of weekly member bonus content, do you think this has had any impact on work-life balance, and if or when to skip a show for a week?
I still think the biggest conversation we have, if we're going to take a week off, is the ads, because we got to decide well in advance that we're going to take a week off if it's sold, if it's a sold show.
Because that's a contractual obligation.
Right.
I mean, for me, there's three elements of taking a week off. One is, will I make the show on its schedule? Like, that's point one. Like, if we say it's a weekly show, there'll be a show every week. That's like the first part that I have to get over of, like, do I want to skip it for that reason? And then it would be for ads. And I would honestly, at the moment, like, I don't really think about the membership part, because that ties back into the first part. Because for me, we produce the shows on a schedule as like a contract between us and the listeners. And so members fall into that for me. Like, it hasn't changed my equation as to whether I would skip an episode or not, because, like, I would just consider that as like, well, we expect it. And, you know, like, I mean, I do understand the idea of, like, well, you're paying X whatever, and if we skip one, that is actually, like, a little bit less for you. But that's why, really, we don't skip episodes. Like, all of the shows that we do the membership stuff on, we don't skip them anyway. At least my shows.
Right.
Talking for myself. We don't skip episodes, so.
Yeah,
we always just try and pre-record. Like, it's just, I think it's just better that way. Or we do something, bring guests in or whatever. I think the equation is still the same. It hasn't changed for me since adding the member content in, because I always just want to produce a show when it's supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It's my job.
It is.
Matt has asked, what has been the hardest lesson for you both to learn as micro celebrities on the internet? How do you think that challenge has improved you as a person?
What do you think?
I think the hardest lesson, or maybe the one that's taken the longest to settle in, is trying to learn what the right amount of my life to share is. So, like, I want online, I want to be authentic, give people a sense of kind of who I am as a person. I think it's important with the kind of work that we do. Like, I know that I care as a consumer and as a fan of the work of others to, like, understand a little bit more about who they are as people through following them on various social media and stuff like that. Like, to me, that's kind of why I do that, you know, because if I didn't want any more of that person, I wouldn't follow them on Twitter or Instagram. I would just consume the content that they're producing, you know. But I do think it's possible to go too far and share things that are not necessary or could affect other people, like in your life, that are not you, that don't necessarily want to be a part of your persona or whatever. I think I've gotten better at, like, trying to draw those lines, but it's always a moving line. Mm-hmm. Because as my life changes, then things that I might have shared before, I wouldn't share now, or I'd share differently.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that any of this has improved me as a person. I don't think that these two things correlate anyway. I'm just different. I don't think any amount of fame should or should not improve you as a person. Like, you just are who you are anyway.
Yeah, I think we're basically in agreement with this. I mean, I've pulled way back from sharing about, like, personal family life stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was different when we started because most of my following were people that I knew, and that's obviously drastically changed. I feel like I've done more of this than you have, but you know, my situation is different because I got kids. So I've definitely done that. And again, I don't know if it's improved me as a person outside of just maybe being more mindful about how and what I share and sort of how I think about, I guess, like, how my decisions affect others in that arena. Again, I don't know if that's better or worse, but it's definitely something that's different. In that same line, Chemical Sora asks, what is the thing you dislike the most about being a micro-celebrity and internet culture as a whole?
This term, by the way, micro-celebrity, was something that me and Casey came up with on Analog to kind of describe how, like, micro-famous. Or, mm-hmm. Like, because we are not celebrities. We are not famous. But there are many people in the world that know us. And so, like, there's this weird thing. We're only famous under certain circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. But people we don't know us. And I think that that is some definition of fame. So, but it's very small. I got recognized a couple of days ago, by the way, for the first time in 2 years. And it was actually quite a nice experience. I was just walking down the street. Someone turned around and said, I love your podcasts. And I said, thank you very much. And then they walked away.
So, nice.
It was cool. That was just the right amount for what I could deal with now, because I'm not prepared for it now. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. If you are that person, thank you. It made my afternoon feel better. Anyway, so what is the thing you dislike most about being a micro-celebrity? The fact that I overbalance negative comments. Kind of two parts to this. One, the part that the negative comments that affect me the most are the ones where people are just nasty to me. Like, so that's part one, where, like, there are people in the world that are nasty to me. And part two is that I let that affect me. Like, those things just bounce around in my brain more, which doesn't make logical sense considering that this is like 1%. Or, like, you know, between like 1-5%, and then like 95-99% of the comments or, like, feedback that I get is positive. But, like, I think this is just how our brains work. We get desensitized to the good stuff and not to the bad stuff. Like, I think about this of, like, you know, you get these people who are, like, really, I don't know, divisive in media. And all the time, they're just like, people are just shouting at them or whatever. I figure that those people get desensitized to the negative comments because that's what they get all the time. So it's just like, whatever. where for us it's the other way around. So, but anyway, I have a balanced negative comment, so I wish that I didn't, but I do.
Definitely do the same thing. It's easy to forget the five nice things people said and focus on the one negative. Mm-hmm. This feels like the same kind of mechanism where, like, you remember that one time you were super awkward in front of somebody and they have no recollection of it whatsoever. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I don't struggle with this as much as I used to, but in the earlier years, I definitely worried a lot about, like, what if this doesn't work out? Like, you know, say we were 6 months in, like, well, what if Relay doesn't work and we have to, you know, shutter it and go get jobs again? Like, for a long time, I thought I would just disappear from the internet if that happened. Like I'm done. Like, I had my time there and it's over. I don't feel that way anymore, but it's definitely faded as we've done this longer and longer. But that's always part of it too, right? Like, you put something out there and it flops publicly. Like, that's always a fear.
Yeah, this is like, you know, the meme of the guy tapping his head. So now, just don't put anything new out there.
There you go.
You know, if you don't make nothing, you can't fail, am I right? Just like tapping the head.
All right, Matt wrote in, I think it was Mike who recently mentioned somewhere that one of your goals is promoting and increasing the subscriber base for the smaller shows on the network. Any plans you want to talk through on this goal?
I mean, I expect we spoke about this on Backstage, so that would be my expectation. So we've been thinking about this a lot over the last couple of weeks. We've been talking with hosts and stuff like that and trying to think about, and me and Steven have been spending a lot of time thinking about what this kind of thing means. I think it's something we've struggled with a lot in the past and just haven't done a very good job of, and I think it's because it's a very complicated task to achieve. Like, I was thinking about this a bit yesterday of, like, you know, the tools that me and Steven learned to grow our shows were in a different time, and I don't feel like I have a great sense of what it is that grows a show, but we're going to try and better use the simpler tools we have at our disposal to help everyone in the network more. So we tried the cross promotion at the end of the shows for a while, but the results of that seemed kind of inconsequential. Like, it didn't really seem to do anything. So we've kind of put that to bed and been rethinking kind of what we want to do there. I know that me and you are currently playing around with some new ways of, like, shorter, more frequent and more natural ways of promoting other shows on the network. And we're also looking at ways to get some shows in front of people that might otherwise not know about them. And this is more like in our newsletters and stuff. Like, could we also say, like, hey, we got this going on? And we spoke on Backstage before about maybe trying to do something different with the social media channels for the network. And I think this would tie in with that too. We're playing around with stuff because we don't have the answers, but we can at least try some different things and see if stuff works. So we're playing around with this basically at the moment more than we have in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's so hard to grow a show, and, you know, we spoke about that sort of in what I call season one of Backstage, where we went through, like, how do you make a podcast, and it's just a tough nut to crack. But we do have some tools we could be using better. I think the flip side of it is, like, the network effect isn't as strong of a factor, I think, when we're at our current size. I think that was a stronger thing when we were five shows and we added the sixth or the seventh. But whatever it is, 26 shows or something, I feel like that's been diluted some. And
I actually have a slightly different opinion on that, but it comes to the same consequence, which is, I think it's 2015 compared to 2022.
Maybe.
There's just more podcasts now. Back earlier, it was like, Relay FM launched a new show. Awesome. I want more shows to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Relay FM launched a new show. Oh, no, I have too many shows.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, like, too. Like, it isn't just, you know, you people understand that there's a certain level of quality to our shows. You pick any of them up and you're going to enjoy them no matter what. But I think people have less space, so I don't think that the network effect, like, just will blindly make somebody subscribe to something. I think that maybe now it is this idea of, like, people need to get a better sense of what these shows are before they'll listen, rather than just like, oh, I'm just going to subscribe. But I don't know. The thing is, you could be right. I could be right. Neither of us could be right. The point is,
we don't really know,
but I don't know. We're going to try some more stuff.
David asks, are there any factors that would make you reluctant about bundling multiple memberships into a discounted package? I'd love to be a member of multiple shows, but it adds up.
I think you should maybe take account as head of membership. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. SVP of the Memberful dashboard.
Yep. I think we had a phrase for this once, but I don't remember what it was.
It is very tricky to pull this off. First of all, Memberful doesn't have tools that would allow us to do this. Now, we could build something custom on top of Memberful or beside Memberful, or like do it ourselves somehow. But that adds a lot of complexity to what is already a pretty complex system with a lot of plans. I mean, it's like behind the scenes, like I have a quarterly meeting with Memberful. I just had it on Friday. And every time we talk, it's like, y'all have a lot of stuff in here. We have a lot of plans. But the biggest issue is it benefits the individual hosts more not to do this. And that's really why we have the membership. I mean, your membership dollars go to the host of the shows that you choose to support. And if we discounted those or bundled them at the end of the day for every member they have, those hosts would make less. And that's not something we want to do. And it makes it complicated on how we split the money. Now it's very straightforward at the end of the month when I pay out membership money, very straightforward on how it works, because I get this long log of there are this many connected monthly transactions and this many Cortex annual transactions, and I can just plug into a spreadsheet and we pay everybody. And adding complexity to that while also taking money out of people's pockets just doesn't make sense to where we are now. I don't think we're saying never, but I think a lot would have to change to make that reasonable. And I would say to David and anyone else, like, don't feel bad if you can't support more than one show. Like, we totally understand that, and we're excited that you're here at all. And I know some people I've talked to over the years will rotate through. So this is actually something that I do with Patreon and some like YouTubers that I back on Patreon. I basically have like a set amount a month that my wife and I agreed on, and throughout the year I'll kind of rotate through and I'll drop off somebody's Patreon and join somebody else's for a while. And that's always an option as well. But definitely don't feel bad about not supporting your, you know, all of your favorite shows. Like, we totally get it. And like I said, we're glad that you're here at all.
Something that is worth remembering is even if Memberful had all the tools that could help us do this, because that really is part of it. We're not putting it on them, like, because the other part is that idea of we want our podcasters who choose to create membership content to receive the maximum amount of money for doing that. It's the point of doing it. So if we ever did bundle, I can say for those of you that want a bundle, you will not get as much of a discount as you would like, right?
Yeah.
Like, because my belief, this is just based on my own intuition, I believe our hosts make more money not bundling than they would by bundling. I understand that people would like to have bundles. We get it. But we are prioritizing our creators over, and that includes me and Steven, over the experience of giving 50 cents off or something.
David also asked, I assume it's the same David. Maybe that's a bad assumption.
Another David. There are a lot. David's a common name. It could be the same David. It could be other Davids.
A David asked, would you ever expand membership to multiple tiers? What might that be like? We spoke about this a little bit on a previous backstage where we have talked about like there could be a higher end membership plan at some point that includes like member only merch drops or something. Honestly, finding a designer and restarting the permanent merch store is a step in that direction. You know, kind of getting our feet back under us in terms of merchandise. Even before the pandemic, merch was always like a hobby. You know, Apple used to talk about like, oh, we have these businesses and the Apple TV is a hobby. Like, the merch store is our hobby. As we become more serious about it, this becomes a bigger possibility. But I don't think we're super close to it at this point.
I just want to, can I just put a pin in that? I want to circle back to something people were talking about in Discord. We record this live, by the way. So if you're in the Discord, Backstage is recorded live. It's on Mondays.
Which is funny for the name of the show. You know.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can come backstage, backstage of us in the green room. We don't have a set day and time, though. So you kind of just have to be there or be square. But people are talking about if they have multiple memberships, getting the transaction consolidated.
Yes.
This is something I wish we could offer you.
Yes. And I've talked to Memberful about it. It is on their radar, but they have not shared any plans with me. This is one of those things where we are using Memberful in a way that most people don't. Most creators have one, two, or three plans.
Yep.
And we have two plans for every show. There's like almost 50 plans in our Memberful account at this point. Like, they didn't build their product for this, and we have stretched it and broken it in a bunch of fun ways. And they're a great partner to work with. I know they're a sponsor. We worked with them before they worked with us. But it is something I have brought up to them, and I will continue to do so. Mm-hmm. If it ever happens, I will be super excited to announce it, believe me.
Yep, this is just one of those things where we are on the absolute bleeding edge of what their technology can do. And so this would be like, they need to add this feature for us. And so like, and that we can't expect that to be high on their list, but I hope that they can find some way to do it, because it would be really good. Because I know that there are international transaction fees that can hit people. So again, this is one of the things, trust me, I would like it. Like, I pay for some of this stuff. So even though I get some of it for free, I still pay because I'm good like that, I guess. I think I do. Maybe I don't. Maybe I've just knocked on myself. What was the question? Merch. Yeah, I like this too, right? Like, this is one we spoke about this before, that we would maybe consider like a higher tier of membership that could include X features and benefits. And one of those could be exclusive merchandise a few times a year or something. And so part of what we're doing right now with the merch store is, how many shirt ideas can we come up with?
Because
all we need is like, say, 10 at most, maybe 6, right? Because you wouldn't want merch every month. Like, a t-shirt, 12 t-shirts a year is too many t-shirts, but maybe like a t-shirt and some stickers or maybe something every month, right? Could we come up with enough to fulfill that over a year? This is the kind of thing that we're trying to work out now. We have no plans for this, but it's something that we could offer, so maybe we will. Final question today comes from Aaron, who wants to know, how are things looking so far for the podcastathon?
You know, we it's in less than 2 months.
Yeah, I know. I got a countdown on my phone now.
Yeah. Yeah. We are in the full weekly meeting every Friday. We have a call with our team.
We've been doing fortnightly for like a couple of months, I think. And we're moving to weekly now. I guess we're not going to tip our hand, but like, just can I give a couple of like overarching things for the members to know about? We're changing up a little bit this year, in that we usually start the promotion of the podcastathon in August, but we're actually doing it, we're beginning talking about and raising money at the beginning of September this year, and keeping the pressure on all the way until the end of the month. So that's slightly different to how we've done things in the past, where we kind of go like middle of August to middle of September, and then we kind of talk about it a little bit for the rest of September. We're trying to like clarify things to, we're going to do like September 1 is when it starts. The podcastathon is middle-ish.
I mean, September. We can say the date if we want.
I wasn't going to say it because I didn't get permission from you, so
it is Friday, September 16th.
Yep.
Noon to 8 p.m. Eastern.
It's noon to 8 p.m., huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did we do 8 hours last year?
Yep.
Okay. Couldn't remember that. So there you go. So, and then we are actually going to finish the campaign live this year, which is something we don't typically do. So we're going to do like a live stream like a special stream at the end of the month where we announce the final total raised. But before and after the podcast-a-thon, we're going to be doing content like we have in previous years, but we're making that like a more consistent thing this time.
We were asked when the first meeting was this year. I was trying to find it on my calendar. The bi-weekly meeting started in May, but we definitely had calls before then. And well, I can tell you when it was. It was when you were here in March. That was sort of the kickoff.
That was the kickoff, yeah. And then we started having fortnightly meetings or something. And now we're up to weekly as we get into the final stretch. And so, yeah, September 1st, I guess, is when we'll start everything. And
I'm excited. We have some really cool stuff planned this year.
Yeah, I'm very excited, but I'm just also really nervous about it. Mm-hmm. Which I think is the exact right mixture for something like this.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
There you go. If you're thinking, when are they going to start talking about it? It's September 1st. We'll probably mention it, like, because we usually kick things off on Relay FM's anniversary. So I think we'll probably make some kind of official announcement then that, yeah, like, the podcast-a-thon will start. Like, well, fundraising for St. Jude starts on September 1st. And maybe we can use that actually as a time to announce the date of the podcast-a-thon still.
Yeah, I think so.
But say that we'll be talking about it during September only this year. Trying some new stuff out, because we've got to keep raising more money. So
that's right. Yeah, we're at, what is it, $1.5 million the last 3 years? It's amazing.
All right, I think that's it. Thank you so much to everybody who sent in a question for Backstage. You can do it anytime. You can tweet, I think.
No, it's just in the Discord.
No, it's just in the Discord now? All right, so you can use ask backstage?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes? Yep. You can use ask backstage anytime you want to ask a question to the two of us to answer on Backstage. But as always, we'll remind you as we're getting ready to record. By the way, actually, that's pretty good. You know, I said, like, oh, you don't know when it's going to be live. When Steven asks, it's always the next Monday. So you can be aware of it.
I'll start putting the time and date in those announcements. That's a good idea.
There you go. What? See how good Steven is to all of you? You take him for granted. You don't even know how good he is to all of you, you know? He's going
to
do that.
I will come to each of your houses with a little envelope, personal invitation.
With a onesie for a baby. And he's like, show me the baby. And then he puts a onesie on the baby. And show me the baby. Relay.fm/store.
And /merch. I think both work.
Nice. That's good. That will take you to our Cotton Bureau page. You can buy one of our new t-shirts.
Yep, both work. Woo!
All right, great. Until next time, when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley and he's Stephen Hackett. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye, y'all.
Man, I had to rush that. I had a sneeze coming.
I was wondering what was happening.
Yeah, I had to speed it up because I wasn't going to get to the end of the sentence.